Does it sound like Matthew's trying to scare us there? I don't think so. I'll explain, maybe, this homily. It's not fear. He wants us to be awake. There's a story entitled, What is the World Like? God and a man are walking on the road. The man asks God, What's the world like? God replies, I cannot talk when I'm thirsty. If you could get me a drink cool of water, we could discuss what the world is like. There's a nearby village. Why don't you go and get me a drink? The man goes to this little village and knocks on the door of the first house. Let's just say a calmly young woman opens the door. His jaw drops. But he manages to say, I need a glass of cold water. Of course, she says, smiling, but it's midday. Would you care to stay for some food? I am hungry, he says, looking over his shoulder. And your offer of food is a great kindness. So he goes in, and the door closes behind him. 30 years go by. The man who wanted to know what the world was like and the woman who offered him food have married, and they raised 5 children. He is a respected merchant, and she is an honored member of the community. But one day, a terrible storm comes off the ocean, and it threatens their life. The merchant cries out, Help me, O God! A voice from the midst of the storm says, Where is my cup of cold water? Spiritual traditions always warn people about becoming lost in the world. It's very easy to get lost in the world. They also warn us not to get lost in God, but that's another homily. I'm not afraid of that with you. Sorry, that's not an insult. But anyways, the demands of everyday life are merciless, right? I mean, there is always more to do, and there's not enough time to do the things that we need to do. I have a friend of mine who once inscribed on her tomb saying, it's always something. At times, this constant activity may be boring, but at times, this constant activity might be exciting. But from the point of view of the story, it breeds lack of attention to the demands of God. What is the world like? The answer of the story is that it is a place of forgetfulness. That's the original sin, by the way. Forgetfulness. We forget who we are. Our true nature, our essential selves. We forget. Or in the metaphor of Matthew in the text today, it's a place where we fall asleep. You're all sleepwalking out there. Not you, of course, but everybody else is. We do not stay attentive to the spiritual dimension of our lives. Most of us are caught up in the world. We don't care about our spiritual life. Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, working in the field, grinding the mill, take all the time. More importantly, they take all of the mind. When this happens, we find ourselves lacking in purpose, in passion, and in pleasure. As one perplexed person put it, how can I be so busy and at the same time be so empty? This dominance of everyday activity is particularly true during the Christmas season. Already busy people become busier people. They have to prepare for the season, which often means they have to do more shopping and more work. They have to prepare for the season. Unfortunately, the frantic preparation often puts people to sleep spiritually. People begin to long not for the birth of Christmas Christ, but for those lazy doldrum days of January. The rush of the season works against the message of the season. The message is that we're to give birth to Christ, take time in our spiritual lives, awaiting that and giving birth to that. Almost everyone has experienced his or her spirits being depleted or even defeated. We wrongly, I think, in our society today, treat the spirit as a luxury. If our bodies were hurting, we would pay attention to them, and we would work hard to recover our physical health if our bodies were hurting us. If our financial security or our social status is under attack, we would struggle and fight ceaselessly for the money and in position. But we will allow our spirit to languish and even atrophy. And this tendency to neglect the spirit may be the underlying insight of Matthew into the people of Noah's time when he says, you know, they valued everything but the spirit. They valued everything but the spirit that sustained them, because it is the spirit that sustains us in life. We wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for the spirit sustaining our material lives and our physical lives. And yet, nobody gives it much attention, especially during the holidays. How are we to keep spiritually aware in the midst of the everyday activities of our lives? You know, we may have the desire, and I think people do, but they lack the know-how. They don't know how to do it. And so, to shout the command, stay awake, as St. Matthew's Jesus does to us today, it may strengthen a commitment, but to say it doesn't show us how to do it. So we need to complement our desire, if you have the desire, with a strategy. What's your strategy, by the way? What's your strategy during Advent to stay awake? Do you have one? Well, let me suggest a few here. And you can make yours up. I have my own way of staying awake, I hope. My practice, my spiritual practices that I do every single day to stay awake to the Lord's presence in my midst, that I can know God and see God in my life all the time and be aware of that. It takes constant opening of eyes of the heart. So what is your strategy? Do you have one? Oh, I go to Sunday Mass. I'm going to do it. Coming here once a week is not going to do it for you. Here's some suggestions. There's a Jewish doctor. She says a Hebrew prayer of purification every time she washes her hands. She says a prayer of purification. She explains that the prayer is not meant to purify, but rather to remind her that the person that she is treating in front of her is more than their disease. That there's a person there. It's more than a disease. In other words, she stays awake to the spiritual dimension of people who she attends to in their bodily distress. There's a man who pauses before Christmas trees. Before he goes into the building where he's working, he pauses before the Christmas tree. And he brings to mind the connection between heaven and earth. And he ponders the theological truth that creation is grounded in God. So that's what he meditates upon when he sees the Christmas tree, when he's going into work. That creation is grounded in God. And so aren't we. He says that as long as he holds on to this truth, his day goes better for him. He says that I notice more. I see the deeper sides of people, and I'm more patient and I'm more respectful. That's a great spiritual practice. If it makes you more patient and respectful in seeing the spiritual deeper side of people, practice that thing every day. And so he says the awareness of spirit, it brings pleasure. It brings passion. It brings purpose. So spiritual exercises, whatever you do, should help you to stay awake through the night. These exercises may be ritual and prayers of the Catholic Church. We have many different ways that you can pray during Advent. Pick out a book and pray those Advent prayers, whatever you may do. Jana and I and Alex, we're going to try to put together a tape to help people to get in touch with their what's called the IntelliKey, the true higher self. It's a practice that we learned from Jean Houston that some people did with me a few weeks ago, and we're kind of put it together to music and to get you into a meditation. We hope to put it on the website and then also make a CD for it for you for meditation. Whatever you do, the practices become the path to the gospel value of constant vigilant awareness. Constant vigilant awareness is the precondition in order to know and respond to the coming of the Son of Man and the arrival of the day of the Lord. It's a precondition. Find a practice and do it, please.